Appreciate everybody. And you pray while I preach today, okay? And those of you online, we're glad you're listening with us today. Hope the service will be a blessing to you wherever you're at. Last week, we preached on the rapture of the church. And we said that the rapture is something the Bible clearly teaches ought to be a comfort and a hope to God's people. We said that we are not looking for the Antichrist. We're not looking for the tribulation. We are looking for Jesus Christ. And we are the bride of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. He's going to come in and he's going to swoop us up and he's going to carry us to glory land. Amen. And you don't let anybody. And that was in First Thessalonians chapter 4. This week we said this and we looked at a timeline. If this was the beginning of time in Genesis, let's say this is starting Genesis right here. And you're going through history and you come up through here and here's about the Old Testament, into the Old Testament period. And here's the cross of Calvary. And from the cross forward, we would come up here. And we said last week to the rapture of the church when the Lord takes the church out. This pulpit, we said, and it's appropriately that, the tribulation period, okay? 7-year tribulation period. First half, 3.5 years tribulation. This is the last 3.5 years is the great tribulation. This is when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel and turns on them. And what you're seeing this morning in this passage of scripture is about right there. Because there's coming a time when the Bible's going to talk about in this passage of scripture, the man of sin, all right? Now, when on this side of the tribulation is what we call, on this side was the rapture, okay? That's the dead in Christ shall rise. You know, we'll be changed, caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. We meet him in the air. The revelation is different. The revelation is when Jesus Christ comes back from heaven after the judgment seat of Christ, after the marriage supper of the Lamb with his saints, the Bible says, and he is coming back and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. That is in not only in the New Testament, it is in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. But his feet will touch Mount Olives. There will be a great battle. The mountain will split into two. And the Bible says he'll destroy them with the brightness of the coming. We're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes back at the end of the tribulation to judge and to war and to judge and to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign. And after that, there will be the great white throne judgment. There will be the new heaven, new earth, and the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a beginning to this thing here on earth. There's going to be an end to it. And God is going to be the one who writes the last chapter. He's already written it. So we pick up the story here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of... By the way, let me just say this before we get going. When you get the New Testament... We're talking about some people, you know, a two-phase coming of Christ, all right? We're coming for the church and coming with the church and with the saints of God back to the earth to rule and reign. When you get in the New Testament and you head into the books that have two of them, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 3rd and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and so forth, every time the first book to that epistle to that church will be dealing with the rapture, the second book of that church will be written, will be referring to the Revelation. It's consistent that way. And there's a reason God has 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. It's referring to the two parts of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we pick it up. He says there, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Now that, I'm telling you something. There's a lot of preaching going on in this world that just shaking people up. Instead of giving him comfort and hope and victory and life and enthusiasm about living, about being, let me tell you, we're here at this time in history. And if God had wanted me some other time in history, he'd have put me here. But he's got me here now. I'm not going to go through my life all down the mouth and all stuff like that. Preaching that shakes you up, makes you worried and boogers you, if you're saved, is wrong kind of preaching. Now, if you're lost, you ought to get shook up. You ought to be troubled in mind. But if you're saved, God's saying there, I don't want you shaking in mind. I don't want you all troubled out. He said, I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you truth. You can know what you believe. You know why you believe it. You don't have to worry about the future. If you're saved, we're in Christ. Boy, I'm telling you something. We need to get old. I'm not up here trying to put on a boogie-woogie show and a magic show and make people go, oh, my land of living, oh, my land of living, unless you're lost. If you're lost, you ought to be shook up and you ought to be troubled in mind. Well, says there, he said, neither by spirit. I'm glad God, boy, it's God's word. Amen. You walk in, son, they may not preach a word of the Bible, but they got a spirit in that place. He said, don't you let nobody shake you up by spirit, nor by word, nor as by letter from us. By the way, if you know anything about Bible history, there were letters being written, sent all over the country, claiming it was the word of God when it was not the word of God. That's a whole other world. But anyway, as that the day of Christ. Now, underline that phrase, day of Christ, because that is the key to understanding a lot of this passage of Scripture. The day of Christ. The day of Christ is mentioned three times in the Bible. Three times. 25 times the phrase day of the Lord is written in the Bible. There, I think through the basis of saying Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ the Lord. So 25 times in the Bible you have day of the Lord. Three times you have day of Christ. And where you get your foundation from it is in the Old Testament. You start in the Old Testament with that phrase and you'll find out that is always talking about Christ's coming to judge the earth and to destroy the enemies of God and to rule and reign. That is what that phrase is connected with clear through the Old Testament. So when you get to the Old Testament, why should it be any different? Now he said this, watch this. He said, don't you let anybody by spirit, by word, or by letter from us. He said, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, it's right now. Now, where's the day of Christ? It's right here. We talked about the Old Testament period, the church period, the rapture of the church, tribulation period, and the day of Christ. Now, the day of Christ is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It starts with his coming. Okay, it starts with his coming, his warring, and his judgment of the earth and of the nations, and then the 1,000-year reign. You say, Reggie, where are you getting that from? Well, number one, I'm getting it from the Bible. Because it says the day of the Lord, and it speaks in the context of it all as a day of judgment, a day of darkness. I'm going to give you some scriptures to write down. If you want to write these down, maybe on the back of your Sunday school, here it is. Joel chapter 2. Just Joel chapter 2. Read the whole chapter. Zechariah chapter 14. Okay? But if you want to do a good study, just go find the phrase day of the Lord and read it. There's 25 times it's mentioned. It's a blessing, and you'll clearly see it is talking about this second coming of Jesus Christ here and this 1,000-year reign. Now you say, Reggie, why are you calling 1,000 years a day? I'm calling that because 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that in the context, and he's talking about the coming of the day of the Lord, he says that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And anytime you find one phrase in the Bible, you go check it the rest of the time. So if that be true, a day is 1,000 years. This 1,000 years is the, what would it be? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The Bible speaks in terms of hour of this or day of that and so forth. Anyway, here we go. So understand this. He said that don't let anybody tell you. He said that the day of Christ is at hand. Now you could know that. You know why you know that? Because in the first book, he told you about some things that's got to happen first. And then he's going to say this. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means. For that day, what day? The day of Christ, this 1,000-year reign of Christ that begins at his second return. He said, no man, he said, for that day shall not come except, there's going to be some things happen. Number one is a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed. In other words, the Antichrist has to be revealed before the second coming of Jesus Christ and the 1,000-year day of Christ there, okay? He said he's going to be revealed, that man of sin be revealed and the son of perdition. Those are titles, those are applications to the Antichrist. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing that he himself is God. Now there's a lot in that. Tells you a few things. Number one, before Christ comes back to this earth with his saints in judgment and in ruling and reigning, there's going to be a great falling away first. There's going to be the revealing of the man of sin. He said that he's going to oppose and exalt himself. He said he's going to sit in the temple of God. You know what that tells you? That temple's going to have to be built before the millennial reign. Now, I personally think, I don't know this, but I think, this isn't Bible. This is Reggie. I think there's something going on with Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. This move that's going to move us toward the building of the temple. Now you say, Reg, you think these things are approaching quick? I think they're approaching quick. I honestly do. This is not cheap preacher talk. I ain't never seen a time like it. We've got violence. You turn on your Facebook, you turn on your TV, and this earth is filled with violence. I mean, they're cutting people's heads off. They're slaughtering people, killing their own kids. I never seen anything like it. Everywhere you go, everybody's shooting each other. The whole earth is just full of violence. What did the Bible say? When the day, as it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said the earth was filled with violence in Noah's day. The Bible said in the days of Lot, and what's that? The days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I never dreamed in my life I'd see a time like we got right here where sodomy not only be tolerated, it's being embraced. And they're taking over. It's just like they had taken over Sodom. They had taken over the cities of the plain. Sodomites taken over. I mean, most of the cities in California are taken over in city councils. Up here just recently, this week, a man, woman had a bridal business. Bridal, you know, like you go and get all stuff for your wedding. 22 years have been in business. Two old Sal lesbians went in there. Of course, wanted them to cater their wedding. They said, can't do it. Sued them. That's been 2 or 3 years ago. But in the meantime, the Sodomites went to the local college, ramped up enough votes, and got Sodomites all voted into the city council, and now they've made it a city law that you have to serve those kind of people. What's funny to me, they're little hypocrites out in Oakland, Oklahoma, out a restaurant out in Oklahoma this Oakland, California this week, not Oklahoma, Oakland, California, they're refusing to serve police. Now, you talk about hypocrisy. Here you got these hypocrites that don't want you to refuse service to a bunch of sodomites. They don't want to serve to policemen because they're afraid policemen might arrest illegal immigrants. Now this is important, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible's going to talk about a person that is wicked, capital W-I-C-K-E-D, in that text here in just a minute. That word wicked means lawlessness. It means they will not obey the law, and they do not live under the rule of law, and that's where we're heading in this country. This country is moving right now. The battle is, are we going to live under the law of man or are we going to live under the law of God? We are seeing anarchy and chaos being raised in our country. California is on the verge. I'll throw you a little history right now. Did you know who it was that wanted slavery? What party was it that embraced and promoted slavery? Democrat Party. What party was it that made the KKK? Democrats. What party was it opposed the 14th, 15th, 13th Amendment that give people the right to vote and citizenship? The Democrats. Hadn't been for the Republican Party, none of that would have occurred. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm telling you, go right on up through the deal right now. In 1960s, you know how the Civil Rights Act got passed? Republicans. It would not have passed because of the Southern Democrats. I'm telling you right now, this morning, LBJ flipped it in 1965. He said, I'll have all them niggers. He said, I'll have them voting for the Democrats for 200 years. And that's his words, not my words, but it is a fact. Now you listen to me, but I'm so thankful to God for the black people in this country who are starting to wake up and realize they've been hoodwinked. By the way, right now, who is it wanting to break off from America and wanting to be lawless America? It's the Democrat Party and their center, the progressive liberal center down in the state of California. The same bunch that started the Civil War in 1860 is the same bunch that's going to start a Civil War. And by the way, I want to tell you something. They're satanically inspired. You want a little bit more history? Let me give you a little bit more history on it. You know who was behind the assassination of Lincoln? Southern Catholics. You do your homework. Now listen, I ain't messing around with you. I've done been battle with the devil. I've been done fighting before I ever got here this morning, and I'm not worried about you. You don't like my preaching, I can't help it. Somebody else will use your seat if you want to leave. I tell you, I'm past that. I'm not up here looking for nickels and noses. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to preach it straight. And if it offends you, I'm going to tell you, I just think this morning, I knew I was going to get in the bee's nest before I got here. Bring it up. You know, I preached my guts out and I preached the whole counsel of God, preach everything in the Bible. And I'll tell you what, I had a man in this church here 2 or 3, 4 years ago, popped up to me after church one Sunday. And all he could talk about was the fact that he understood me to say that sodomites can't be saved. He's mad at me because I said sodomites. I never said sodomites can't be saved. I said sodomites are not likely to be saved. And whenever God sent the angels into Sodom, none of them got saved. He didn't even send them down there to evangelize them. He didn't even tell them to give them a gospel tract. He didn't tell them to preach at him. He said, you get out of there because I'm destroying them. You can like that or not. Now, you want to tell you something. That man took his wife and kids and family and left this church because I was preaching against sodomites. That tells me something. That tells me something. Tells me he might be on the internet playing with some fags. I've had fags set in this church before. Faggots. You see, I don't like that word. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care. I don't care. It's nasty. It's filthy. It's no count. It's wicked. It's destroying this country. It's going to steal your families and your children. By the way, let me tell you something else. Don't you ever, my kids ain't all here. So I'm going to tell you right now. Some of your kids that become fags, don't bring them to my house. You say you don't love your grandkids, sure love them. They repent and get right with God. They're welcome to come to my house. I ain't letting them come to the house and poison the rest of my grandkids. Amen. But we having a good time. Amen. I got to spit.
Do it on that side of the church.
Do it on that side of the church. They warned you, amen. I'll tell you something else. I've had grandmas in this church, their grandson, their son, a sodomite, and get mad for me preaching on sodomites in this church. It's been in this church. Little boy walk in here with his purse on. I've had mamas in this church house come in here and drag your daughter in here with the dress up to her rear end and slid outside that. And I preach on nakedness and you get mad at me and leave. They're all over the country like that. I bet I've got 15 or 16 old hags running around other churches out here got mad at me for preaching about their own daughter's nakedness. If you don't like that, I don't care. It's still ought to be modest. Amen? Amen. Woo! I don't know what's going on here. It's just like, I mean, there's something inside my spirit that says, you fight the devil. You fight the devil. Well, anyway, the Bible said there, verse 5, remember you not that I was with you, I told you these things. And now that you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, we're going to get that a little bit, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then, watch it, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying and wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's a lot of other passages of scripture. I just want to point something out to you this morning. That in Matthew chapter 24, in this, there's three major passages that match this in the New Testament. Number one is Revelation chapter 19. Write that down. I saw a white horse. That's the same scene that he's talking to you right here. Revelation chapter 19. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 through 31, and we'll probably look at that later, is speaking of the same event that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 there is speaking about. Joel chapter 2 and Zechariah chapter 2. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is the Bible tells us of the entrance of this man of sin, this Antichrist, is revealed. He says there in verse number 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come away first, come except there first come a falling away first, a man of sin be revealed, son of perdition. I want to tell you something right now. The man of sin is going to be revealed. Look at verse number 6. He said, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed. There's three times the word revealed is in this passage of scripture. Verse 3, verse 6, and verse 8. And in verse 8 it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That revealing of the man of sin, everybody says, who's the Antichrist going to be? I ain't got a clue in the world. Unless it's Judas. That's my best guess. Resurrected Judas. You say, wow, this talks about the mystery of iniquity in here. The only other time in the Bible you see that phrase is where it said the mystery of godliness as compared to the mystery of iniquity. That's in 2 Timothy, and the Bible said Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness. And by the way, what that is God in the flesh. The mystery of godliness. Manifest in the flesh, God said. Well, what's going to happen is the devil is always imitating God, and the mystery of iniquity is Satan in the flesh. Jesus told Judas, told the disciples, one of you is a devil. He didn't say a demon or devil. He said, one of you, devil. Now, I don't know that all for sure, but I'm saying that if I could identify anybody, it might be a resurrected Judas or an incarnated devil, okay? But there's something that says not only is he going to be revealed, but he said there's something going to happen before the revealing of the Antichrist, and that's the restraining that's being moved. In verse number 7, the Bible said this, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, watch that phrase. The mystery of iniquity, this Antichrist spirit is already at work, and brother, is it. The spirit of the Antichrist is already on this nation. But the Antichrist is going to be revealed during the time of tribulation. He's going to be revealed. But he said before he's revealed, something's going to happen. He said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, now what's that personage pronoun there? He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Twice it says he. You say, who is the he? I believe it's the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you about some things. The Holy Ghost is God. He's everywhere all the time. So he can't be taken out of a place. He's there all the time. But he can be removed as far. I'm going to tell you something. You can grieve the Holy Ghost in this church house this morning, and the power of the Holy Ghost and the movement of the Holy Ghost can be lifted off of this place. Or you can obey the Lord of God, and the Holy Ghost will pour his spirit out upon this and come down upon this place. Okay? Now, what I believe the Bible is teaching here, we've got the rapture of the church. I believe when the church goes out, that at some point from there on toward, at least in that first 3.5 year period, that the restraining power of the Holy Ghost, you know what's keeping this country right now from going into complete, depraved, garbage pile? you people. You got the Holy Ghost living in you. I'm just being honest with you. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. That's why it's important to live right and do right. Spit white. Amen. I mean, be right with God. Be salt and be light. Because we are the restraining power. The Holy Ghost is living within us. And the Holy Spirit's work through us and through the church is keeping back the sewage pile flood of iniquity that wants to come across this nation. And I'm saying to you, I don't know. You can say, well, Reggie, I don't believe that. I don't know. I'm not going to fuss with you about that. I just believe that that restrainer, it said he will let until he be taken out of the way. That word let means to allow. In other words, the Holy Ghost, he's God Almighty. He's only allowing so much until he be taken out of the way. And then he said that man of sin will be revealed. So somebody tells you they know who the Antichrist is, I wouldn't put too much stock in it, okay? Now, as I said a while ago, the day of Christ in verse number 2, this restraining power, it's important, it's key to the timing and the revealing of the Antichrist. He says that day of Christ is not going to come till this man of sin be revealed. As I said three times, the Bible, day of Christ, 20 times, 5 times, the day of the Lord. And it's always connected to the literal second coming of Jesus Christ when his feet touch this earth, not when we meet him in the air. Now, the mystery of iniquity. As I said a while ago, this mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16, God is manifest in the flesh. The mystery of iniquity will be when Satan is manifest in the flesh and the Antichrist. By the way, what did Satan tell Jesus in the temptation? If thou will fall down and worship me. Can I tell you what Satan wants out of you? Worship. That's his bottom line. And if he can get you, keep you from worshiping God, as far as he's concerned, he's got you worshiping him. And his whole goal is for you to worship him. Now there's some timing here. Verse number 3 is we talk about the entrance of the Antichrist. It said that day shall not come except there first come a falling away. That falling away is a term of apostasy. It means when people have turned away from revealed truth. And if that's not the case in America, I'll eat your dirty socks. Amen. People's leaving the King James Bible in droves. Churches have left them in droves. You can't hardly find a preacher that'll preach it. Or at least got guts enough and backbone enough to say he does. Amen. And the man of sin shall be revealed. He said that falling away is coming first. Here's what I'm getting to. We are seeing that falling away right now. I'm going to tell you something right now. As everything I see, this country is being conditioned to receive the Antichrist. It's being conditioned to receive him. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you sitting in this church house this morning, if you don't straighten your act up and get serious with God, you're going to find out. I'm telling you right now, if you're going to find out that your children are going to deal with this thing. The man of sin, you're playing games with God. Now we talk about the entrance of the man of sin. I want to talk about the evil of the man of sin. Verse number 9 teaches you something. First of all, look at it. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now I'm going to say some things this morning some of you ain't going to like. First of all, it's demonic. His coming will be demonic. Verse number 7, it says it's already working, but it's hindered by something, by a person, he. This great falling away, this apostasy. I want to tell you something this morning. This emerging church business, these contemporary church services are nothing but the spirit of Antichrist. I saw a man this morning on a Facebook post that has preached in this pulpit. As far as I knew, it was a man of God, believed the King James Bible, believed everything. He's out singing somewhere in some big mega church now singing. You know why? Because he's a good singer. And they let him get behind the pulpit and they got all them blue lights coming down, the fogs in the church. He's up there doing that contemporary stuff this morning. He has apostatized. Amen. I'm telling you right now, that stuff will lead you away. And you know what it's all about? Wanting to be in front of a big crowd. Wanting to be a big shot, wanting everybody to look at you, wanting attention, so wanting glory. I'm telling you right now that I'm determined, I've decided, my spirit, I can't explain everything. I'm telling you right now, these emerging churches, these rock and roll churches, all this contemporary junk, it's out of the bowels of hell. It's got the Antichrist spirit upon it. It does not glorify Jesus Christ. They have another Jesus. And I'll tell you something, 5 or 6 of you can leave out of here and go them things you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. If you remember what judgment day that this old Bible preacher told you, stay away from that junk. Amen. Stay away from that junk. I'm telling you right now, rock and roll's out of the bowels of hell. It always was. I'll tell you, when on earth did we start doing, hey, who mimicked who? Hey, wait, who mimicked who? Who mimicked who? Let me tell you something. I was raised in the 60s. I've been to rock concerts. I'm telling you something. I've seen more than you'd believe what I've seen. I know what they're like. I'm going to tell you what, a rock concert, brother, got them stand up there. They've got the lights doing all this and the strobe lights and the smoke's coming across the deal and the blue lights are coming down and all that kind of junk. And everybody's up there going, woo, woo. It's like churches like that now. Who influenced who? They brought that into the church. I'm telling you what it is. It's a bunch of low-down, unconverted, apostate, false converts who will not lead the world, who want the world with them, and they're bringing the world right into the church. They've carved out another God. They're nothing more than Old Testament Baal worshipers. And they want, I'll tell you something right now. I still believe you ought to go to the house of God and look decent. Amen. I'll tell you, if your old brogan shoes, the best shoes you got, wear the best shoes you got to church. Not because you're trying to impress somebody, but because you're coming to worship the King. I'll tell you this, oh, come as you are. Come look like a, you know, come looking like a beach bum. Makes me sick. I'll tell you what you're doing. Your dress reveals what kind of God you worship. Now, I didn't say you had to have suit and tie. I don't like these things. I don't care if you wear overhauls. I like, brother, I'm gonna embarrass you. I like his overhauls. But I want to tell you something. He ain't coming up here looking like some beach bum. Amen. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to fight this thing to the things out. Why? Because they're leading people to false conversions. They're as worldly as hell itself. There's no difference in them. There's no separation. There's no glory to God. They brought God down to some kind of a humanistic, play muddy God that goes along with everything they want to do. Demonic. I'm telling you right now, new Bibles. You say, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to tell you one more time. You got a will. And your will, your lawyer said after you was dead, and those kids come in to have that real with. Now, your Bible's a will. It's a last will and testament. That's what that Bible is. That's God's testament. His last will and testament. So your mom and daddy dies. Lawyer brings in. He said, now, kids, he said, I know that your mom and daddy would have liked. I think I'm going to do what your mom and daddy. He wanted me to change a few words here. I just changed two or three words in your will and testament. And I took out your name and put in my name. And I don't think your mom and dad would mind me just changing a few words. There's not a mom and dad in this setting in this church house or listening to me on air anywhere in the face of this earth who would go along with that. You would tell that lawyer, now don't you be messing with that thing. I've told you what I want, exactly what I want. Don't nobody mess with it. God gave us his word and he promised to preserve it. Nobody's to mess with it. Nobody's to add with it. Nobody's to take away from it. And God says don't mess with it. Now you tell me something. You got preachers preaching out of all these crazy Bibles. And isn't it funny how it all goes together? You get your crazy Bible first and then you get your crazy music next. It all goes together. I'm just preaching this morning because we're approaching a time of the coming of the Lord and we're approaching the time of the man of sin, and there the spirit of iniquity doth already work. It's already at work. Let me ask you another question. What they got against us just believing the old Bible? Why are we such a bunch of idiots? I mean, their grandpa read it. I guess he's an idiot. Your grandma read it. I guess she's an idiot. Your grandma wore a dress. I guess she's an idiot. Why is it they're so against people that just want to believe the old Bible that this country was built on? That evangelized more people than any book in this whole world. What's their problem with it? Why is it they got such an attitude? You say, well, you got one too. I do. I'll admit it. Somebody said, Reggie, I'd come listen to you preach, but you just got such a sharp edge to you. I can't help it. That's the way God made me. I want to tell you something. I'll just give you a little something. They didn't like it in the Old Testament when Elijah and Jeremiah came either. And they didn't like it when John the Baptist. You think I'm rough? You ain't never heard rough preaching. I'll tell you when preaching gets rough, when they start cutting your head off of what you're preaching. Yeah. Old John the Baptist looked back there at old Herod and Herodias and said, it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife. You're a thief. You're an adulterer. And Herodias sat there in church that day and smiled and said, amen, but I'm going to have your head cut off. That's the way it is. Bibles, music, lifestyles. I'll tell you something. You're talking about a hot place in hell for some little sorry low-down clergy. Isn't that a wonderful name? Clergy. I don't park in clergy spots because I ain't clergy. I go up to the hospital, clergy, who's that? You know what clergy is? That's somebody that puts on a robe and a little collar and all that kind of junk and walks around like no religious man. But they ain't nothing to them. They're the kind of people who walk up and have two queers come up and marry them now and kiss each other. That's what a clergy will do. The second thing you'll see about the man of Christ, not only his demonic powers that there, but the deification. Verse number 4. He said, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worship, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That tells me, number one, there's going to be a temple somewhere coming. There's a temple coming over in Jerusalem. All right? And I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know all about the shrine of the mosque and the whole deal, how the temple and all that, because that shrine of the mosque is sitting on the Dome of the Rock. And that Dome of the Rock is where, you know, they claim, I don't know this, but I'd say it ain't far off of where Abraham offered Isaac. Both the Jews and the Arabs claim that's the spot. And they claim that's where Solomon built the temple. Okay? So I'm going to tell you something's going to happen. They're going to have to be a compromise between Islam and all the religions of the world. And that's where your ecumenical movement comes in. That's where you got guys like George W. Bush saying, well, the Muslim God's our God. The Hindu God is our God. No, we're not. But the spirit of the Antichrist comes in and says, and I could tell you somebody else, and I'm not going to do it because some of you just can't handle it right now. But if I mention his name, he's a famous American evangelist, said the same thing. That the Hindu's God, the Muslim's God, is all the same God. And even if the Muslims don't get saved, I've heard it right out of his mouth, even if they don't get, quote, born again, they're still going to be in heaven because we're all worshiping the same God. Let me tell you what that is. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Bringing everybody together around one supreme person that's going to be worshiped in this world during the tribulation period. It's deification. First of all, he'll oppose all, watch this, look what it says. He'll oppose, said he'll oppose, that's in verse number 4, he said he'll oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God. You say, Reggie, is that spirit of Antichrist working already? You better believe it. I want to ask you something. Is the media oppose God? Now watch this. This man of sin opposes everything about the God of this Bible. Does the news media oppose God? Yeah, they do. They hate God. They literally hate him. I mean, boy, anything goes on to exalt Jesus Christ in truth and reality, boy, I mean, the only thing they'll ever do is exalt the Pope or something like that. You know, some old false prophet. That's the only thing they'll ever do. But when it comes to Bible, biblical Jesus Christ, they want nothing to do with him and they oppose it. I want to tell you something right now. American education opposes Jesus Christ. Amen. Opposes Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you right now, I cannot understand. I can't grasp it. Somehow or another, this old hillbilly brain of mine, it just don't get it. How we can claim to be Christian people and give our children for the heathen to educate. I don't get it. When God says don't do it. I don't get it. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't blame me when the world gets them. I'm going to tell you right now. You say, well, we got to be salt and light in there. Well, you know what? I got to tell all the Christians in Wright County and Douglas County and Webster County. You know what I want to tell you? You're doing a sorry job. You're doing a sorry job. Amen. They oppose Jesus Christ being taught and preached in that school. Amen. They oppose creation being taught in that school. Amen. They oppose this Bible being preached in that school. That's exactly what you're reading right there that will be approaching the day of the Antichrist is the world organizations will be opposing the God of this Bible. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be hard and I'm not trying to be rough. It's just the fact of it. Hey, when are we going to wake up and realize you can't give your children to Baal and expect them to turn out for God? Amen. It's just the facts of it. I don't know when Christians are going to wake up to it and say, hey, no more, no more. I'm not laying my children on the altar for you to consume your education system. I want to tell you something. I've said it a thousand times. I'll say it again. You want to pack a lunch up and buy your kids new shoes and a new pencil and a little box, carry his stuff and send him through that door, and the very first thing they're going to do is teach him that he came from a monkey, that God's a liar, the first verse out of the Bible is a lie, and you claim to be a Christian? Oh, really? Oh, you're a great person of the faith. The most cherished gift God ever gave you, your little child, you're going to send him for the heathen to tell him that God is a liar. He said, well, my teacher didn't say that. Oh, really? She's smarter than say that. Oh, you're hot. You're sweating. Sweat running down your armpits right now, ain't it? I can see it on your face. Hey, man. You say, Reggie, Ben, it's rough. No, it ain't going to be near as rough what judgment coming. You think God ain't going to pull you? You think God ain't going to pull the cover over your hypocrisy? You're crazy. You worship a false God that you think your little God's up there going, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. No, it ain't. It's not all right. They call God a liar. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll dare that anybody in this church, dare you, see if you can get an assembly called of any public school in this country. Get a full assembly in the gymnasium. Get it quiet. How many kids in here with a raised hand think it's all right to be a gay if you want to be? Raise your hand. Anybody got in here guess what happened? How many, what do you think? Just give me some percentages. What's the percentage you think? Half? Huh? 90? What about the next question? How many of the kids think if you want to have same-sex marriage is okay? Raise your hand. Well, I want to tell you something. What do you think the next generation is going to think? Can I tell you something? If we don't have a major, major outpouring of the Spirit of truth on this nation, we have had it. We've had it. I can tell you right now, children are being indoctrinated in these public schools to believe that sodomy's all right, being a transgender's all right, same-sex marriage is all right. They're being indoctrinated that all that opposes God. All that opposes God. I mean, how much worse can you get than just to flat out say, God, you're a liar. But oh, I know, public schools are sacred cows. Bless our hearts. We've got to have a living. We got a little job up there. So we don't say anything. We just let it go. Quiet in this church house this morning. Oh, I've got my bus driving job. You don't talk about public school. I'm going to tell you right now. Martin Luther said in the Reformation that if Jesus Christ, listen to me, is not preeminently taught in the education of our children, our schools will become the great gates of hell. And he's exactly right. He's exactly right. Then he said, he exalts himself, sitteth in the temple of God as God. Can I tell you that may listen to this, or you in here, I don't care where you're at. The Bible said, there come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you may not bow to Jesus, but I tell you what you do, you hang around one day, you'll be crawling on, licking the ground worshiping the Antichrist. You'll be crawling on your hands and knees worshiping him. You better figure out who you're going to worship, because you're going to worship somebody. An atheist is a worshiper of Satan. They just don't know it. So he's evidenced by his demonic activity, by the deification of himself. He makes himself out to be God. And then thirdly, by disobedience. In verse number 4, the Bible said this. He said he opposed and exalted all that is God. That's opposing the work of God. In verse number 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, I said a while ago that word wicked means lawlessness. It means rebellion against the word of God. It means, watch me. It means that here's the law of God. Here's the word of God. And that spirit, that mystery of iniquity spirit, that spirit of the Antichrist says, God calls it wickedness to rebel against what that Bible says. You listening to me? I'm talking about the spirit of the Antichrist that's in this country right now before he is revealed. All right? You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, what does it mean to be wicked? It means to be lawless, to do what you want, regardless of what the Bible said. Can I tell you something? That sodomy is against the law of nature, and God's the one who ordained the laws of nature. But they're not just against the law of nature, they're against the law of God, this Bible. I'm going to say it. Listen to me carefully. I don't want you to miss what I say. The most dominant attitude that you can find in churches in America right now is wickedness. The most dominant attitude there is. See, what do you mean? Even in Bible-believing churches, there's an attitude that I will pick and choose what I want to believe and obey, and the rest of it, God can just do what he wants to. And I tell you what, studying this week and meditating on this, is like the Lord just kind of pulled the curtain back. So I want to show you something. Reggie, when you sense that in your life or in the church's life or in the family's life or in this nation's life, when you have an attitude that I know what that Bible says, but I will not do it, I will openly rebel against it, you're an influence by the spirit of the Antichrist, by the man of sin, that wicked one. You are becoming lawless. That book will not rule over your life. You've got that on you. And I got to thinking about it. I thought, Reggie, the most dominant attitude there is in churches in America right now, the most dominant attitude is, I will pick out the part I like, and what I don't like, God, you can take it and do what you want to with it. That's an attitude among Christians today, or professing Christians. Let me give you some illustration. I don't want you women ever to say another word about a man who wears a dress till you start dressing like a woman. For 40, 50 years right now, I can take you back to when my mother was a girl. I've looked at every photo I can look at about my family's ancestry history, Brother Ralph. And in my grandparents' generation, I cannot find one picture. I don't care whether it's in the garden, feeding chickens, what they were doing, with a woman with breeches on. But now I know they're a bunch of old fatty crazies. I know they're crazy. I know they're a bunch of religious idiots. I can't find one picture. I mean, I've dug through boxes down at my mom. Surely there's a picture somewhere of some grandma with a pair of breeches on. I'm going to be honest with you. I guess I've just gotten used to it. It's going to be what it's going to be. People's going to do what they're going to do, and I'm going on my life, okay? But I can't help but think, Brother Tom, that if the women hadn't started dressing like men, maybe the men wouldn't ever started dressing like the women. You reckon? Have some of you seen the new stuff that's out? The new male models with the dresses? They're out there right now for sale. Ben, you can buy you a totally buttoned down to the ankle dress for men, not women. I never will forget one time I was preaching a meeting up by Lebanon, Missouri, out in the country. There's an old grandpa, boy, I mean, we had a blowout up there, but he said about where Brother Jim sits right there. He's about your age, probably. And I was a preaching one night, and I come down and I said something. I said, I'm going to wear a dress tomorrow night to the preaching. He about jumped out of his chair. I said, you better not. I said, thank you, brother. I said, then why is it all right for all you women to come dressing like us men? You see, the truth about you is, you've made up your mind, you're going to obey what part of the Bible you want to. If it don't suit you, you're way more concerned about what the world thinks, even your girlfriends think about you, than what God thinks about you. Amen. You know what the Bible says about that? That it's an abomination to God for you to wear that which appertains to a man, and it's an abomination for a man to wear that which appertains to a woman. Well, we've got this spirit of, it's a dominant spirit. I'm just barely getting by with this congregation. What would this be like in the average church up and down 60 Highway this morning? Can you imagine? There'd be a bunch of old Jezebels climbing on top of the seats. Hang him, shoot him. Oh, you'll sit there and be nice this morning. You'll be good this morning because you're outnumbered. You ain't fooling me. You're going to act like you're kind of halfway go along with it. At least you're not going to show up in defiance here. I'm going to say something further to you girls. If it's all right on Friday to wear your skin-tight breeches, why don't you come popping into church next Sunday with it on? Amen. If it's all right. See, ain't there a thousand other things you could preach on? Yeah, but that's the one that makes you the maddest. That's the one that gets there. It's the same thing with raising children. I raise my children like I want to. God don't tell me how to raise my kids. Can I tell you right now, the average kid in America runs his mouth like a singer sewing machine. He don't know how to shut up. Mom and daddy can't make him shut up. We don't raise our kids like God said to. We let them back talk us. We let them be disrespectful, and that whole attitude is going to turn itself toward God when they get older. Oh, we're having a wonderful time. Ah, I could go on and on, and I ain't going to. Fourth thing is deceit. It'll be characterized by deceit. Now listen to me. God said there'd be power and signs, and then it said something unusual. Lying wonders. Wonders that are lies. Some of you sent money to Benny Hinn. If you're that stupid, send it to me. Them clowns get on TV and tell you all that stuff and promise you this and promise you that, and you sit there and swallow that like a guppy goldfish. Why don't you get some sense in your head? They're going to get up and go, people's all falling over, but there just happens to be somebody there to catch them. Ain't that handy? They're walking down the line here. Yay, let's do that. Y'all try this a while. Nobody pick you up. I'll do it. I go, whop. They're walking down through the line, go, and he's going, oh, and somebody catches them. Oh, somebody catches them. Ain't you got no more sense to realize that's a wolf in sheep's clothing? That ain't no gospel preacher. That ain't no Bible preacher. That's a huckster. Doing signs and wonders and power. Woo! Spirit of the Antichrist. I'm going to tell you something else. Hey, this is live. All this speaking in tongues stuff, wrong. Wrong. You know what? Hey, those of you listen to me and get mad, you're shutting it off right now if you want to. That's the nice thing about that. You go in these churches, they believe in this gabbling tongues. Cackle like a gobble turkey. It's mostly women. And the Bible says, let the women keep silent in the churches. In the chapter. That talks about tongues. Woo! Oh, bless God, we believe the Bible. Bless God, we believe the Bible. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to talk in tongues. You read your Bible. Those tongues were languages from 19 different nations in the book of Acts. They were languages. And I'm still for tongues. If you'll do it like the Bible says to do it. I don't know anybody does it like. I wish I could speak in tongues. I wish I could speak Spanish. I wish God would just give it to me. Amen. I'm serious. I wish I could speak Portuguese or hillbilly, anything. But I'm telling you. Listen, can I tell you this little historical thing? That with the charismatics tongue movement came all of the emerging church movement and the rock and roll. Yes, sir. You say, I don't like it. I don't care. I don't care. I ain't worried about pleasing you. I don't please God. I don't preach truth. That's the truth. That's the flat out truth. I'm telling you right now, the lying wonders get up there and do all kinds of stuff like that, and you just swallow that. I'm telling you, people, they're going to those churches by the tens of thousands, lining up to get in there, to see a wonder. I'm going to tell you something. If I had what Benny Hinn had, and these clowns claim they have about healing, hey, I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus Christ have a healing tent? I ain't read about it in the healing tent. I mean, he went around healing people. I want to tell you another thing about that is, that is a kingdom sign, and Christ was offering the kingdom to him, and those were kingdom signs. The deaf shall hear, the blind shall see, the dumb shall speak, the dead shall be raised, the lame shall walk. And you go back to the Old Testament, find out what that's about. Well, the Messiah was coming with the kingdom signs. Now, if I had what these guys claim to have, why would I make you come to church or to my tent? Exactly right. Why would I make you come to my tent? Why wouldn't I just say, hey, give us a call. We'll come out to your house, heal you. Hey, call us up at the hospital room. We'll heal you. I don't see Benny Hinn running around hospitals. Oh, but you know what he says? You already went to the hospital. You ain't got the faith. Really? There's a guy in Oklahoma who's a great, he's a faith healer. He wore a toupee for years. If I had that much faith, I'd grow my own hair and quit having the toupee. Amen? I'm serious with you. You heard about the guy out there, you know, big tent revival, you know, man, they said healing, healing, big old banner up there, you know. Went in there and preacher's up there and he's running back and forth. Hey, he said, I can heal anybody. I can heal anybody. I can heal anybody. He said, anybody need to be healed back there. Two or three of them come up there and he said, go behind that tent. Go behind. Here come this guy. And I'm not trying to make fun, but he's all in. He's messed up, quadriplegic. I mean, totally messed up. He come up there and he says, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, he said, oh, you know, God on said, go behind the tent there. And he had his walker there. No big man, big old 260 pound, looked like a pole climber come up there. And he said, well, what's wrong with you? He said, I've talked like this since I was five, and I can't change. I want to be healed. Well, he looked at him and said, well, go behind over there. So there's all behind the tent over there, behind the curtain. Man, he ran back and forth four or five times, and he began to hoot and holler, and all of a sudden he said, I command you to be healed. And boy, and then, you know, somebody would say they'd all hoo and all everywhere. And boy, pretty soon, he told old Roy with that walker, he said, Roy, I command you to be healed. And they just didn't hear anything for a little bit. Pretty soon the old boy, he kept going. The old boy come up and he said, I want to be healed. So he says, Leroy, he said, I command you to speak in a normal voice. Nothing. He said, Leroy, I command you to speak in a normal voice. He said, Roy fell down. I'll tell you, I just had it. I don't care if they don't like me. They don't like me anyway. They can't even heal common cold. Did you ever think about that? They can make somebody's leg grow 2 inches. Did you see that? Ain't this is real cool. Watch this. Now put your leg out there. Now folks, everybody see? Watch this. Everybody seeing this? See that? That leg's shorter than the other one. See that? Zap! Look at that. Look at that. That's how stuff works. You say, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not. God can strike me dead right here if I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I am exposing a false spirit of signs and wonders, lying wonders, power. By the way, can I say to you, some of that stuff does happen. There is satanic power. I never saw such deception in my life. People thinking, I've never seen anything like it. This spirit, people believe it. Christian people believe in sodomites is okay, and adultery is okay, and divorce is okay, and convert. And you wonder why people convert to Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses and Islam, because they don't know nothing. You read what that Bible said there? It said when you reject the truth, you don't have a love of the truth, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to believe a lie. This is exactly what's happened in this country. Go back to your Bible there. I'll try to get back to preaching. I don't know what I was doing there for a while. Good grief alive, we got to go. But I want to give you this morning at the end of the Antichrist. The Bible said in verse number 8, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. This is Old Testament prophecy. Also Isaiah 11:4 said, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's Old Testament. That's just not New Testament stuff. Psalms 46 verse 6 says, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. Watch it. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Revelation 19:15 said, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword wherewith he smite the nations. God says he's going to destroy the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and with the brightness of his coming. Matthew chapter 24 tells us this, that the sun is going to be darkened, the moon will not give forth her light at this period in time. When Jesus Christ comes back, let me tell you something, with the condition of the earth, it's going to be total darkness. God's going to shut the lights off. At the end of the tribulation period, according to the Bible, the lights will be off. They rejected the light, they wanted darkness, God's going to give them to it. Now you watch this. So, When Christ comes back, the Bible said he will destroy them with the spirit of his mouth, and he said the brightness of his coming. This is Revelation 19, Matthew chapter 24. It's here and it's in the Old Testament. He's going to destroy them with the word of his mouth and with the brightness of his coming. The earth's going to be dark. And I'm telling you something, those trumpets this morning, I'm telling you right now, all of a sudden the heavens is going to break. And the glory of God. Now you listen to me. No man can look upon the glory of God. Some of you are mad at me this morning because your grandma spoke in tongues and you know she's a wonderful woman. You're not even listening to me right now because your grandma spoke in tongues. You're mad at me now. That's okay. I'm going to believe my Bible over your grandma. I'm going to believe this book over your experiences. The just shall live by their experiences. That's not what the Bible says. The just shall live by faith. Faith can be hearing and hearing the word of God. Not mad at nobody. Don't hate nobody. Love y'all. But if the truth rolls you out, then you might want to really pay attention to this text because it says that they love not the truth. They love not the truth. Now, I know maybe you may not be intentionally that way, but you ought to think about it. I'm telling you, what's following all this charismatic, wild signs and wonders, church services, is a wrong spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm for getting the lost in. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if they come through that door. If their nose and head looks like a fishing tackle box. I'm going to love them in Jesus' name. I'm going to preach the word of God to them. Amen. Now, I'm not going to condemn them. Jesus said he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this much. I'm not going to stand by while false doctrine is propagated through this country. And people are led into a spirit of Antichrist with it. But I'm going to tell you something. What I do have a problem with is when they can come to church with their tackle box on their head and their purple here and their dress up to the rear end and we think it's fine. Then I got a problem with that. That 6 months later and we're bringing every worldly thing into the church and we're bringing all that garbage into church. I got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that person's soul, spirit. What I got a problem with is bringing that in and saying, this is how church is going to be now. You got to change. You change. I ain't changing. Amen. I'll tell you something. I'm getting more old-fashioned every day. Amen. No, I'm not getting old. I hope God's leading me more to his word every day. But I'm going to tell you something. If people don't get a hold of this, let me tell you what you're headed to. You're headed to dealing with your sodomite grandson coming to your Christmas dinner. That's what you're headed to. Amen. And you're headed to yourself breaking down and saying, well, you know, bless God, I am. He's going to destroy them with the blightness. The Bible said in Matthew 24, his lightning cometh out of the east. The Bible said the sun will be dark and the moon will not give her light. And God's glory is just going to blind them. There ain't going to be no big battle. I mean, it's a big battle, but it ain't going to be a big fight. Can I tell you, you're talking about God and you're talking about the devil. You're talking about God, you're talking about the Antichrist. He's going to destroy them with the brightness that's coming. That battle don't last very long. It's not no big struggle. God's going to destroy them. You better get that down. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on today? Let me finally give you this, the effects of the Antichrist. Remember, his spirit is already at work now, the Bible said. He is not revealed, but the spirit is working now. In verse number 11, I want you to look at this before we close. And for this cause, God shall send them something. What's he going to send them? Strong delusion. Strong delusion. What's that mean? You're going to get fooled. You're going to be fooled. Guess what? Look what it says. Look at verse number 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Let me tell you about a saved man. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to cut the cabbage. A saved person. I said a born again person who has repented of their sin, turned from their sin, turned to Christ. And our flesh will always be rotten and there'll never be no good in their flesh. But they've repented and they've turned to God. They will love the truth. I've never seen a genuinely saved man that did not love the truth. That's the first thing I look for when I meet a man. Does he love the truth? It's the first thing I look for when somebody walks in this church. Do they love the truth? Can I tell you about my private personal prayer life? I say, Lord, God, would you send me some men that love you, that love your word, that love the truth? Because, God, if they love you and love the truth, Lord, the rest of it will work out. You give me a church with men who love this book. You give me some men who say, I'll tell you what, I want truth more than I want my own pleasure. I want truth more than I want have a wonderful little family. I want the truth. I know I can't make it without the truth. I've got to have the truth. He said they love not the truth. And then he said, verse 11 said, for this God shall send them strong delusion. So now, because they don't love the truth, God sends them strong delusion. He said, you're going to reject truth. I'm going to send you deceit. And they should believe a lie. And you know what that lie is? That the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. That's what it is. They're going to believe that this is the Christ. They're really going to believe that. And they're going to worship him. And that's what will happen to you. That's the effects of this thing. Look at verse 12. That they all might be damned. Not part of them. Not some of them. But all be damned who believed not the truth. Now let me ask you a question. Who said he was the truth? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I was driving down the road this morning to my mama's house. And some things coming through my mind. And I just prayed. I said, God, lead me to truth. I thought about some homes and some people that I love. And I see what turning from the truth will do to you. And I said, Lord, that can happen to any of us. I'm not special. I'm weak. I'm nothing without you. Oh, God, give me a heart, mind, and a soul, and a spirit that loves truth. I want to ask you a question today. What spirit dominates you? Really? Is it a spirit of obedience? A spirit of submission to Christ and his word? Is it a spirit that loves the truth no matter how hard it may hit? What kind of spirit's dominating you today? Listen to me carefully. The trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. I hope you're all saved. It is not the spirit of Christ that produces disobedience and rebellion. It's the spirit of the man of sin. I hope today that in your heart, though you may fail and though you may fall, though you may disappoint yourself, I hope that down in your heart today there's a spirit of obedience, a spirit of truth, that you love the truth. Because God said, because they did not love the truth, God sent them strong delusion. I'm going to give you one more. You're messing around with the new Bible. John 17:17 says, watch it, listen. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. You say, Reggie, you're too serious. I come to church wanting to have a blast, have a good time. I like to have a good time too, but you can't preach on the Antichrist. You can't preach on this and be flopping around like, you know, you're having a dance and a song and a fiddle playing contest. This is serious stuff. And next week I may preach on something. We're about ready to go here. Next week I may preach on why did God command husbands not to be bitter at their wives? Whole different world than what we preached on. Did you know God tells husbands specifically, do not be bitter at your wives? I'm going to preach on 8 reasons. God gave me a message the other day. 8 reasons men get bitter at their wives. If God lets me preach it. And if I don't preach that, I'm going to preach a message on, I'm going to bring a deal for you to sign as parents to make a covenant with God on how you're going to run your home and your family. I don't know what God's going to do. But I just want to tell you, I love you. We're going home to eat. If you're not saved, I just get saved today. You don't have to have a song and a dance. Nobody ought to have to curry your hair and comb you up to get you saved. I'll tell you one thing right now. God hang you over hell a little bit, you'll be ready to be saved. You say, Reggie, I like you, but I didn't appreciate some of the stuff you preached today. Well, I'm not out to offend you. I don't want to make you mad at me, but I'm going to tell you something. You better be getting hold of the truth. Let's stand. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many people in this building today say, Reggie, by the grace of God, He put something in my heart, makes me love the truth. I want the truth. If I don't get anything else, would you raise your hand toward glory? Would you pray and ask God, God, give me a hunger for truth? Would you just keep that hand raised up toward God? And just say, Lord, give me a hunger for truth. I don't care what it costs, how bad it hurts. I want the truth. If it burns my hide, takes the hide, hair and all off my soul, God, I want the truth. Would you ask him right now, say, Lord, give me the spirit of truth. God, I want my family to have the spirit of truth. I want my children. God, put the spirit of truth on my children. God, put the spirit of truth on my children. Folks, we're sunk if we don't have the spirit of truth. We're living in days of the great falling away. It's happening all around you. And I know that you got to live your life and you got to go to work tomorrow. But oh, we need God in the center of our lives. I sure do. Heavenly Father, this morning you've seen these hands. I pray, oh God, that you'd hear the cry of their heart. I pray, God, that I'd love truth. I do, Lord, I appreciate truth. I'm so glad, Lord, when you made truth to me that I was lost and on the road to hell. That I was headed to hell just as sure as I was breathing. That I was not saved. I'm thankful, Lord, for that spirit of truth that pointed out my hypocrisy and my phoniness and fake religious life. God, I pray today that you help us to see the places in the scripture where we've rejected your truth. Where we've not loved it, we've not lived it. I pray, God, today, that as these closing hours of history, as we approach the day of the Lord, that will not be part of the great falling away. I pray, Lord, keep us tied to your word with cords of love, not cords of pressure, not cords of religious coercion, not cords of fear even, Lord. But the cords of love tie us to thy word. God, I pray you bless these families, these homes, keep the marriages together in this church. I pray, God, that our children would know you in truth. I pray, Lord, there'd be no false conversions. I pray, God, they'd know the spirit of the living God and know the truth. I pray, Lord, that we'd not base our faith and our life upon experiences, Lord. God, I know that everybody does the things that I mentioned this morning. They're not all intentionally, Lord, doing wrong or disobeying the word of God or in error. But dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help folks across this land to come to some of the old simple Bible truths. I don't know, Lord. When I think about all the churches that have left the Bible, that's hard for me to have hope for this nation. But I pray do something in this land. God, nothing's too hard for you. You could turn this nation around. Give us a space of repentance, we pray. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. I just feel like maybe you should do this. I'd appreciate if you'd just be in reverence before the Lord. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to give you an invitation right now just to step out from where you're at to come to an old place of prayer here toward the front. And, just call on the Lord. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If there's anybody here, I'm giving you a shot right now. Pile out of that seat. You'll have folks praying with you. You talk to God. God will hear you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you're lost without God, you need to be saved. I want you to know the door's open. The door of mercy is open. The door of grace is open. God opened the door of forgiveness through his own son on the cross. And they pierced that spear in his side and forthwith came water and blood. Man, I'm telling you, that door is open. There is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Would you come this morning anywhere in this building? Let me ask this before we go. Is there a soul in this building? Say, Pastor, Preacher Reg, I am not saved. I am not saved, but I tell you what, God's dealing with me. I'm going home here in a little bit, but I'd sure appreciate you praying for me this week that God would bring me to faith and repentance. that there would be a breakthrough in my soul. Is there a hand anywhere in this building? Pray for me, Reggie, I'm lost. Anywhere in the building? I see none. Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray, God, that you'll take this message and do with it what needs to be done, wherever it's heard. Anoint it with the power of the Holy Ghost, oh Lord. And God, I pray something special. Please get them beyond my personality. Get them beyond my edge. Lord, bring them into the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That they may know, Heavenly Father, that they're going to give an account to you someday and to your word. They'll be judged by this book. Lord, I pray use the message for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We'll be back tonight showing the final film on the nation of Israel. Hope you'll be with us.